all of us that are here tonight know that Hosea is a type of God and Gomer is a type of the nation Israel. In this third chapter that we started last week, in the first verse, then said the Lord unto me, go yet love a woman beloved of her friend, yet an adulteress. This is when Gomer had left Hosea, and she had sunk deeper and deeper into sin. She'd become a slave on the slave market. And Hosea went in the second verse, so I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for an homer of barley and a half homer of barley. This is a precious thing, this truth that we had in that last Wednesday. These flagons of wine, as we brought out, were raisin cakes, and they were part of the ceremony of the idol worship. And Israel here, and Gomer being a type, had lowered herself, so she was worth half the price of a common slave. And this is what man has done today, and we're going to get into some of these scriptures. All right, we're going to move on now in this third verse tonight. Hosea talks to her after he buys her back. He owns her now. And this is the type that Jesus bought all of us at Calvary. We belong to him. If God's people just realize this, it'd be wonderful. If Israel would realize it. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide for me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot, and thou shalt not be for man. So will I also be for thee. This many days here speaks of the 2,000 years that Israel will abide with the Lord. They belong to him. He bought them at Calvary. Many days, 2,000 years plus now. And over in chapter 6 of Hosea, oh, this scripture, I'll tell you, if God's people just knew where we are living, what with the time that we're living in Hosea 6, in the first verse, come and let us return unto the Lord. Hosea speaking to Israel, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. This is when they will accept his government. After 2 days will he revive us. These 2 days represent here the 2,000 years in which God has dealt with the nation Israel. And in the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. We're in that 3,000 year already. When you come to the end of 2,000 years, which we have, you begin the next 1,000 years. We're in that 3,000 years, and this is what the Lord's doing to this nation Israel. He is raising them up. And yes, they're going to go through some terrible things, and they're still very independent of the Lord, but they'll find out they're going to need him. When Israel rejected Jesus Christ as their Messiah, and they chose Caesar to rule over them, and I want to read that in John 19. This is when they rejected Jesus, and they chose Caesar. And I want to read this chapter 19 of John. I want to start from the first verse. This is when he was being tried, and the Paschal Lamb is slain. We've studied this as one of the titles of that chapter. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus, he took him inside, and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, When I read this today, I thought, man has a law. You know, that Noah's Ark article in the Last Grace and Glory, that was good. If Noah had built that ark today, he would have had a permit to do this and everything he did. This is right here what we find. Right here. They have a law. These religious people, that's who they are, the chief priest. They said, the sixth verse, when the chief priest therefore and officer saw him, they cried out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. He made himself the Son of God. He was. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went again into the judgment hall and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? This is the sixth answer, sixth question that Pilate asked of Jesus. There were quite a few. This is the sixth one. But Jesus gave him no answer. Isaiah 53:7-8, he led as a lamb to the slaughter. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not to me? This is the seventh question. Knowest thou not that I have the power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? And I love this answer. Jesus answered, thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And these were the last words that Jesus spoke to Pilate. These were the last words. And when we take this scripture for ourselves, I'll tell you, it's wonderful, that man can do nothing to us except it was given to them from above. This is a wonderful scripture. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh him a king, maketh himself a king, speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat, in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha, which means the high place. And it was the preparation of the Passover at about the sixth hour. And he saith unto the Jews, behold your king. But they cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. This is when they rejected him, thoroughly rejected Jesus Christ. So because of that, they have been without a king. And we're going to go on now into this fourth verse. During this age of grace, they've been without a king. Let's read this fourth verse in Hosea. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, and without an image, or this is a pillar in the Hebrew, and without an ephod and without a teraphim. Just that verse we're going to look at for a little bit. First, they have been without a king. The last king that they had over Judah was Mattaniah, which means gift of Jehovah. They changed his name to Zedekiah. And in 2 Kings 24, and I want to read this. We had this the other night in Samuel. In 2 Kings, and both of these chapters, 24 and 25 in 2 Kings, are very important prophetically. 2 Kings 24, this is when Jerusalem, we know the 10 tribes were carried away first into captivity, and now here the two tribes are being carried away captive. And we're just going to read from the 17th verse. And the king of Babylon made Mattaniah, his father's brother, king in his stead, and changed his name to Zedekiah. Zedekiah was 21 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 11 years in Jerusalem. And he was a usurper because he wasn't in the lineage. And his mother's name was Hamutal, the daughter of Jeremiah of Libna. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, according to all that Jehoiakim had done. And Jehoiakim is up in chapters, in verses 5 and 6. There's so much in these two chapters that are just full of prophetic truth. For through the anger of the Lord it came to pass in Jerusalem and Judah, until he had cast them out of his presence, that Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And this man had a terrible ending. If you want to read this, and we have a book at home with all the all the men of the Bible and get it out. We have one, and I got it out today, and the terrible ending this man does, he has. And this is when Judah was carried away in out of the land, and they left the poorest of the sorts. This is also mentioned, and we're not going to turn there. It's mentioned in 1 Chronicles 3:15, and also in 2 Chronicles 36:10-11. And Jeremiah over and over mentions about this time when Judah, the two tribes, are carried away captive. And then during this 2,000 years, they are without a prince. She had a prince after their 70 years of captivity. That was Jesus himself. He was going to come, but they rejected him. So they are without a prince. He's the prince of all the ages. And without a sacrifice, there aren't priests there that can trace their lineage back to the priesthood. Today, they don't know who they are. They're of the Aaronic line, but some of them don't know what lineage they are. But when this time comes for them to set up this sacrifice again and offer up that offering, a burnt offering, as we read, they'll do that 30 days before the 7 years begins. So therefore, they don't have a sacrifice. Therefore, there's no atonement for them except through Jesus Christ. And then they are without an image or a pillar. This is also translated illusion. They are not idolaters today, but they are committing adultery today. They're not taking God as their husband. They're looking to the nations for direction. So they are adulterers. They're not idol worshippers as they were back in the Old Testament. And then they are without an ephod. This is what the high priest wore. And in that ephod was the Urim and the Thummim, whereby they could get the will of the Lord by. And they don't have an ephod, which the priest wore. And then without a teraphim. In Zechariah 10:2, these are called idols. Let's turn over there. It's right close by. Zechariah 10 in the second verse. Let's read the first two. Zechariah 10:1-2. Ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to every one grass in the fields. For the idols, and in our margin we have in the Hebrew, this is teraphim. The idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie, and have told false dreams. They comfort in vain. Therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. That's another thing they're without. They're without a shepherd. So all of this, they were these idols, these teraphim. One author says that they were gods in the shape of human bust. And this is what Michal, David's wife, put in that bed when he was let down. And she put that in the bed so those that came thought he was lying there. This is more and more tells us when we had in Numbers when Balaam gave those prophecies regarding the nation Israel. And in Numbers 23:9, we read there in one of the prophecies, he said, "Lo, it is a people that dwelleth alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations." That's why they can't blend in to any of the nations today. All the nations around there want her out of that land, and that's why they're getting together now. Dear ones, we're there, I tell you. We're just there at the coming of the Lord. She's not reckoned among the nations. She's not counted, and wherever she goes, that's why Hitler did what he did to all of the Jews. Oh my, what a day it's coming. All right, this fifth verse back in Hosea, and we'll try not to go fast. Afterward, and this means after the church age and after the tribulation, shall the children of Israel return, which they're beginning. This is a transition time in which we're living right now. They shall return and seek the Lord their God and David their king. This speaks of Christ. And shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days, the end time, time in which we we're approaching very fast. We're living in the end times. So this is when Paul speaks about in Romans 11. Paul speaks of them during this age in which, and I want to turn over there. If you remember when we studied the book of Romans, the 9th chapter of Romans tells of Israel's past, the 10th chapter speaks of their present time, and the 11th chapter speaks of the future of the nation Israel. So Paul speaks of them in this 11th chapter of the book of Romans. I want to read this because God, as we know that Paul himself was an Israelite. He was more as one born out of due time. He says in the first verse, I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. For I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people which he foreknew. I thank the Lord for that. Know ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, or how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they have killed thy prophets and digged down thine altars, and I am left alone, and they seek my life. That's in 1 Kings 19. Here, Elijah, this is Elijah, who was translated, and he felt he was all alone, and he went there in that wilderness, and you know, the Lord fed him with the ravens, had the ravens come and feed him. Oh, I love that, because these are times, we go through times when we feel like we're really all alone. And the Lord comes and he'll feed us with something unexpected. They even brought him water. It was, he sat by a brook. And the ravens, there was a famine in the land, and the ravens could have eaten that bread, but they didn't. And the ravens are kind of a dirty bird, I understand them. Well, they didn't even eat that bread. They gave it to Elijah to eat. This is marvelous to me. Oh my, marvelous, marvelous is the word. In the fourth verse here, but what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant according to the election of grace. Over there in Israel today and other nations, there is this remnant, even today, in Paul's day. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? Otherwise, work is no more work. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, this remnant. And the rest were blinded or hardened. God did this because of their rejection of his Son. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David saith, let their table be made a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. They became the slaves, as we know. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. That's how the Lord brought us in. Through their fall, we've had the opportunity of being in the church for to provoke them to jealousy. Now if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, and if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? And that's what we see in the book of Ezekiel, when those bones come together. I think it's Ezekiel 37. Those bones are going to come together, and they're going to be resurrected. So it's going to be a wonderful day when this nation turns to the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, back in Hosea, in this fifth verse of the third chapter, he says, afterward shall the children of Israel return, and they're doing this. They've been doing it since 1948, and even before that, they started to go back. And they're going to seek the Lord, and then they're going to come with fear. They shall fear the Lord. This fear means they'll come in trembling fear. They will flee to his goodness, and with reverential all mingled with joy. They're going to be so happy to see him when he comes out of the glory. And I was thinking the other day, he's sitting up there just waiting for them to acknowledge that he's there. Just waiting for them to acknowledge it. It's going to be a wonderful day. This is the latter days, he says, and his goodness in the latter days. Let's go over to the little book of Micah. It's one of those that's sometimes a little hard to find, but it's so small, some of these. But in Micah, the 4th chapter, and the 1st verse, but in the last days it shall come to pass that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and the people shall flow in unto it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth out of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. This is going to be a wonderful day. And all of the nations will go up to Jerusalem. And he shall judge among many people, and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against a nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. Won't that be a wonderful day? There's a fear today over so many people over there. Now that it won't be anymore. That's going to be a wonderful day. It's going to be a happy day for them. People want happiness today. But you can't have happiness without the Lord. If you walk in disobedience to the Lord, and I found some scriptures about happiness, and this is what everybody wants today. They want to marry and be happy, or they want a job so I can be happy, or whatever. But let's read these. I have three of them. Let's go to Job first. Job 5:17. This dear man, Job, that went through so much. Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. You would think, well, I'm not very happy. I'm going through a terrible trial. But the Lord's allowing it because he's conforming us to his image. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. And this Almighty is El Shaddai. And it's used in, it's the first of 31 times in the book of Job, El Shaddai, or Shaddai. And then in Psalms 146, we have it also. Psalms 146 and the 5th verse. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's the happy man. There's a lot more we could have found, but the other one we had was Proverbs 3. And verses 13 and 14. We're blessed, I'll tell you, blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Proverbs 3 and verse 13 and 14. Happy is the man that findeth or acquires wisdom, and the man that getteth or draweth forth understanding. These proverbs are so rich. I'll read that again. Happy is the man that acquires wisdom. Now this is God's wisdom, and it's right out of this book. And the man that draweth forth understanding. We draw this forth from God's word. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof of than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Oh, I love this. This book of Proverbs, it's rich. All right, well, let's go back to Hosea. You get sidetracked, this book even takes you all over glory. That's all I can say. It just takes you all over glory. When you get into this book, there's no ending to the riches that are here. All right, this 4th chapter of Hosea, there are a couple titles. One of them is the backsliding heifer. And if you've ever seen a heifer that rebels and doesn't want to go up the ramp when you want to load him, that's difficult. And another title is Joined to Idols. And beginning with this chapter to the end of the book of Hosea, We're giving in minute and vivid detail one long indictment from God on a morally corrupt, politically decaying, and spiritually bankrupt nation. That's what Israel is today. And when I read this today, when we read this today, we looked at this nation. This is what this nation here is too. Very same thing. I'll read it again. It's an indictment from God on a morally corrupt, politically decaying, and spiritually bankrupt nation. Did you get it all? And in this first verse, we hear the word hear, and this is a command. This is used in a regular court procedure. When you have a court, the judge says, hear, hear, that's what we have right here, is a court procedure. And he's speaking to the children of Israel, which are the 10 tribes. The 10 tribes were called Israel, and they were also called Ephraim. So let's read this first verse. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel, for the Lord hath a controversy. And this controversy means he's filed a lawsuit with the inhabitants of the land. This is quite interesting. This lawsuit means, or a judicial ground of complaint. And the reason that he does is because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. That's the reason he's filed this lawsuit. That down in the sixth verse, he says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. That's why there's no knowledge in the land. And this is true in many countries, this one included. The knowledge of God that he talks about here awakens man to his love for them. When we begin to learn the word, it awakens. We find out what great love he does have for us. And then that love affects our conduct. When we know how much he loves us, we want to walk pleasing to him. It will affect our conduct, and it does. In the sixth chapter of Hosea and the sixth verse, he said, for I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. This is what God wants his people today even to know, is his knowledge. And it's this knowledge is found in this book. We're not going to find it anyplace else. This is where we learn of him. This is where we learn what's coming upon this world. This is how we can get our eyes open to know what's going all around about us. It's everywhere. And over in the 13th chapter and the 4th verse of Hosea, yet I am the Lord thy God from the land of Egypt, and thou shalt not know no God but me, for there is no Savior beside me. This is what he wanted them to know. He wanted them to know him, but they didn't want to know him. This is something God desires, or he commands it. I love that. Thou shalt have no other God but me. It's wonderful. Sin is rebellion, as we know. It's rebellion against God. And it has kept Israel from a true acknowledgement of God and blinded her eyes to the goodness of God. We read over in chapter 5:4 that we had a little bit of, well, we haven't read this one. Let's read it. In Hosea 5:4, they will not frame their doings to turn unto their God. I love this, and we'll get to this later on. But they don't manage their affairs that they will turn to God. For the spirit of whoredoms is in the midst of them, and they have not known the Lord. Israel today, many of God's people don't know the Lord. They're saved, but that's it. Over in the 11th chapter and the 3rd verse, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. I drew them with the cords of a man, as is Christ, with bands of love, or chains of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, and I laid meat unto them. This is what he did when he led them out of Egypt. They were bond slaves, and he did this for this people. But they had rejected him, as we read there in John. And when people reject God and turn their backs on his knowledge, they begin a downhill course. They begin to go downhill. They don't go up anymore. In Romans, the first chapter, Paul talks about this. In that first chapter, and we'll turn over there in a little bit. I'm just going to give you these right now. In Romans 1, God said, God gave them over or up to uncleanness. That's in the 24th verse. That speaks of the body. When man didn't believe the Lord, they had saw everything. They had no excuse not to believe that there is a God. When they looked all around them, we know there's no evolution. God made everything. But they didn't acknowledge this. So God gave them up to uncleanness. And that speaks of the body. And then in the 26th verse, he gave them up to vile affections, which speaks of the soul, the soulish desires of man. If that soul isn't brought into subjection to the Word of God, it can be very vile. And then in verse 28 of Romans 1, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. And this speaks of the spirit. That's terrible. A reprobate mind? What do we see out in the world today? This is it. And this is where Israel is today. The depravity that in the nation Israel, and that's among the Gentiles, is the same. Man is man, no matter what nationality he is. He still has that sin in that old man, and he's still man. All right, let's read this second verse in Hosea, and second and third, let's take them both. By swearing, and lying, and killing, and stealing, and committing adultery, they break out, and blood touches blood. This is broke as under the bands of truth. It becomes vile, wicked and vile. The fact they kill each other is what he's talking about here. Blood touches blood. Therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish with the beast of the field and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. These things are beginning to come to pass now. The news not too long ago, with some of the oceans, there's places where they can't even find fish anymore. We heard this the other day, and they can't understand it. Why they can't? If you have ears to hear, you're going to hear these things. They can't find these fish. They don't know where they've gone. And this is what this speaks of here. When we know the Word, we can tell what's going on. This second verse tells us of the moral depravity that comes by rejecting the knowledge of God. Moral depravity. I want to read over in Jeremiah, the 9th chapter. Jeremiah sure did know man. And this dear man of God, he was one of the poorer sorts that Nebuchadnezzar left to the end of the land. But he sure went through a lot. Jeremiah 9 and verses 2, let's just start with the first verse. He's bewailing the sin of the people here. He said, oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain, the daughter of my people. Do you saints, there's times it just comes over you like a wave, that you just begin to weep for God's people that aren't yielding to the Lord. You know what they're going to go through. You know this. And you know a lot of them that will. And you just weep. That's what Jeremiah is doing here. Because these judgments are coming fast and furious. He said, oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them. For they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth or the faithfulness, for the faithfulness is in the margin upon the earth. For they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. This is what Jeremiah lamented over, is that they didn't know the Lord, and they just went downhill. If we don't yield to the Lord, we're going to go down worse than we've ever been before. And this is what this whole book tells us of. I want to go over to Romans again, the first chapter. We'll turn over there, and I want to read from the 29th verse, Romans 1. This is such a picture of this nation. All around us we see lawlessness is on every side. Even the sheriff's department and the police and the patrolmen, they don't stop at stop signs. We've seen them over and over. Not do this. They shoot out in front of you. when they should be waiting. We've seen this over and over again. Every place you go, people walk, jaywalk as we used to call it. They're not ticketed for it anymore. They're supposed to go to the intersection and cross. They don't do that anymore. And then if you hit somebody, you're to blame. This is what's going on. There's lawlessness everywhere, no matter where you turn. Let's read from verse 29 of Romans 1. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, this means deceitfulness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, this malignity grows in everything that's evil, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, in other words, they cannot be moved, they're unmerciful, who knowing the judgment or the ordinance of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. This is a condition of this world today. Everywhere you look, this is what we see. Then let's go over to 2 Timothy 3. Oh, I'm thankful that some of us are going to be taken up suddenly out of all of this. It's going to be wonderful. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, and I want to read from verses 1 to 4. This know also that in the last days, that's where we're living, perilous times shall come. This word perilous means strength-reducing times. And all of this, when we are among it, does reduce our strength. When we go home from being in town to do business, we are just completely worn out. This is what it does to us. It wears us out. It's strength-reducing. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. And this is the root of all of it all. They think of themselves first instead of the next person. They're covetous, boasters, proud, proud over something. You've got to have that pride. I've got this pride. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. This incontinent means they're without self-control. We learned today of a family, they're a Vietnamese family, that he's an alcoholic, and she was working at a place here, and she was so angry. The state took the children away because of what she was working out, and she was going to kill somebody or took her knife, and the state took their children away, and they don't have self-control anymore. They get angry over anything. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. That's what we see today. Lovers of pleasure. You look at the news, at some of these games that they have today, whatever it is, they're packed in there. They're just packed. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And that's what we see. All right, back in Hosea, because of all this, in this third verse, God says, therefore, we want to remember now that God is bringing this indictment. God himself, it isn't man. God's the one that's going to judge this world. And when Jesus Christ comes, he's going to reign as God for 1,000 years. He's going to reign, and man is going to have to acknowledge him. So because of their condition, he says, therefore shall the land mourn, and everyone that dwelleth therein shall languish, with the beast of the field, and with the fowls of heaven. Yea, the fishes of the sea also shall be taken away. Because man has sown all of these things that we read of in the second verse up there. The land shall mourn. Man's sin works havoc upon the lower creation. When man's his sin is so degraded as it is now, it's gone downhill, he is sinning more and more against God, then it affects the beast, the fishes, everything. Everything's under the curse When man dwells and acts as they do, as they're doing today, that curse becomes greater. You can feel it. Man brings about his own ruin, but he also brings about ruin to those that are around him. If those that are around him have an effect upon him, upon them. And he can, a man that is walking against God can bring ruin upon anybody. It affects them. They either have to separate themselves and go on and just trust the Lord. And that's what we have to do. We just have to go on and trust the Lord. All right, let's read now from the fourth to the sixth verses. Yea, let no man strive or dispute, nor reprove another. For thy people are as they that strive with a priest. This is a serious thing. Therefore shalt thou fall in the day. This is spoken of as a surprise attack. And the prophet also shall fall with thee in the night. And I will destroy thy mother. This mother is the nation Israel. This is what's going to happen to this nation. It's going to come suddenly. Then we will see the pollution of the priesthood. Israel disputed and reproved the spiritual priest. Over in Deuteronomy, I want to read this. This is a serious thing with the Lord. Deuteronomy 17, when a priest, someone who ministers before the Lord, is giving out the truth and is reproved, that's a serious thing before the Lord. Deuteronomy 17 and the 12th verse. And the man that will do presumptuously and will not hearken unto the priest that standeth to minister there before the Lord thy God or unto the judge, even that man shall die, and thou shalt put away the evil from Israel. This is what happened to the priesthood. Just like when we read there in John, it was the religious people, those priests, that condemned Israel. And they told him, they even called him a blasphemer. See, they're going to answer to the Lord. They're going to stand before him one of these days. And they're going to answer before him. That's going to be quite a day. It shows us the seriousness of going against God's anointed ones. God himself, there was manifested in the flesh in Jesus. And they thought they knew more than he did. As this goes on, the religious priests insert themselves in. They're not spiritual, they're religious. And they reject the knowledge of God, as we know. So many among the churches in this city have rejected Paul's gospel, the bridal truth, the ranks. They don't even believe in eternal life. They're rejecting the word of God. Well, there's more and more of them that are springing up. And the more they increase, the more they sinned against the Lord. Such glory they turned into shame. And this, it was interesting when I first read this and was studying this the other day. Their glory turned into shame. This is in one of the scriptures that in this seventh verse. Let's read it in Hosea 4:7. As they were increased, so they sinned against me. Therefore will I change their glory into shame. Now let's turn over to Philippians. Many that know the bridal truth, the truth of the race course, who are not walking with the Lord. They're just strolling around. They're being tossed here and fro, back and forth by every wind of doctrine. Here in Philippians 3, and I'm going to start in the 17th verse. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, it is in parenthesis, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They bring shame upon the cross, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, and they are devoted, they mind earthly things. They're more interested in earthly things than heavenly things. They're walking, and as we've said before, this word walk here, it means they're just strolling around. They're minding earthly things. There's something out here in the world I'm interested in, so I'll just turn off my race course and I'll go over there and enjoy it, quote, enjoy that. The flesh has to be entertained. But their end is destruction. They're going to be saved so as by fire. They're going to go through the tribulation. That's what it means. They're going to go through the tribulation. Many of them are going to be left on this earth, and it's not going to be pleasant. But their glory is in their shame. They want to present themselves, but their glory is in their shame. All right, in these 8th and 9th verses of Hosea, they eat up, now talking about these religious people, they eat up the sin of my people, and they set their heart on their iniquity. And they shall be like people, like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. For they shall eat and not have enough. They shall commit whoredom and shall not increase, because they have left off to take heed to the Lord. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart or the understanding. The things of this world take away the understanding of the Word of God. This is quite a statement here. These priests delighted in the sins of the people because it brought them greater revenues in fines and in their sin offerings. See, these priests got a portion of this. Let's go over to Isaiah 24. Quite a picture of this world today. Isaiah 24 and verses 1 to 6. There's so much in the Word about this time. Isaiah 24 in the first verse. Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty. Well, it's going to be quite a time, isn't it? And he maketh it waste. When we look out there today, we say, oh, the Lord wouldn't do that. Yes, it's written, and it's going to come to pass. And he turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof. It's kind of interesting. They're trying to sift through some of the bones of these people that were killed in that 9/11, trying to find out who they are, sifting through them. I thought, what are they going to do when the tribulation comes? People are going to be killed by the thousands. They can't identify them, but it's coming. And it shall be as with the people, so with the priest, as with the servant, so with his master, as with the maid, so with her mistress, as with the buyer, so with the seller, as with the lender, so with the borrower, as with the taker of usury, so with the giver of usury to him. The land shall be utterly emptied and utterly spoiled, for the Lord hath spoken this word. And I underline that. When the Lord speaks, he means what he says, and it will be fulfilled. The earth mourneth and fadeth away. The world languisheth and fadeth away. The haughty people of the earth do languish. What are we going to do? The haughty speaks of the nobles, those that are have a prominent place, that think they are somebody. They're going to languish. I remember though when they talked about the market crash in 1929, people committed suicide. They jumped out of windows. They lost everything they had when the market crashed. What do you think they're going to do when this whole economy falls? And it's coming. It's coming. Everything here. The earth also is defiled, and this speaks of a moral defilement, under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinances, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath a curse devoureth the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate. In other words, in the margin it says they are found guilty. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and few men left. Now this is something, when we teach prophecy, it's weighty. We know these things are coming, and we want to be out of here. We want to be gone. Now we can choose what we want. We can choose today. This is a time we choose. Some have chosen to not gather together, so much the more as you see the day approaching. They've chosen this. They're going to suffer loss if they keep on. They're going to suffer loss. And this is what the Word says. In this 10th verse of Hosea 4 here, for they shall eat and not have enough. What they had wouldn't even satisfy them. Man in his greed, he never does get enough. Now think about that. Isn't that right? Man in his greed is never satisfied. God has something else. God has something different. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We be content with what the Lord has given to us. This reward in the 9th verse, he says in the latter part, But I will punish them for their ways and reward them for their doings. It's literally cause his bold doings to return to him. Now, he will cause man's bold doings to return to him. Now, what does Galatians 6:7 say? Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We have to remember God's word is true. And I want to read Ezekiel 39:24. This book of Ezekiel is full of this. Ezekiel 39 and the 24th verse. According to their uncleanness and according to their transgressions have I done unto them and hid my face from them. It's their uncleanness and their transgressions that will come back upon them. It'll come right back. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Then they shall eat and not have enough. They won't be satisfied. Oh my. Over in Haggai, let's read it. I've got to read these because they just fit in so perfectly with what the Lord is giving us here. Haggai right after Zephaniah, if you can find Zephaniah. Haggai 1 and the 5th verse. And I'm going to read down a ways here. Haggai 1:5. Now therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, and the Lord of hosts is mentioned so many times throughout the prophets. Consider your ways. He says this often. Consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. It's like it falls out the bottom. Where did it go? I've got to have more. That fell. It's gone. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build a house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because of mine house that is waste. And ye run every man unto his own house. Isn't this going on today among God's people? Why aren't there more here tonight? For the same reason. They'd rather be at home. They'd rather be somewhere else than when God tells them to gather together. Same thing. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. You know, you wonder why today we haven't had rain in this area. You'll recall, we haven't had rain for quite some time. There's a lot going on that the Lord wants our eyes open to, for us to understand that the famine is right here, close at hand. All right, let's look at this 11th verse, and then we'll close. Whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart or the understanding. When man's heart is perverted, and it's out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and the heart is what God deals with. When that heart is perverted, the intellect does not understand the ways of God. The mind, they mind earthly things, as we read in Philippians. When the heart is not right with God, then their ways are not right with God. The heart has to be right before the Lord. Let's go over to Isaiah 28, and then we'll close. Isaiah 28, verses 7 and 8. Oh, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for this word, for what he's opened to our hearts over the years. Thank the Lord for it. Isaiah 28 and verse 7. But they, and here he's speaking of Judah, also have erred through wine and through strong drink, are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and